Is your business worth saving? Welcome to Business Rescue Roadmap, providing new approaches to your business, how to avoid pitfalls, and proven methods to take your business to the top. Save your business, rescue your life with your host and business coach, Stacy Tuschel.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show, Business Rescue Roadmap. I'm your host, Stacy Tuschel. And on today's episode, we have Elizabeth Potts Weinstein. She is the founder and lead attorney of EPW Small Business Law PC in San Jose, California, where Elizabeth helps entrepreneurs, small business owners, artists, online publishers, coaches, and consultants to get the legal complexities out of the way so they can get back to helping their clients and changing the world. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being here and welcome to the roadmap.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited to dive in, but before I do, is there anything I missed in your bio?
No, okay. that's a good short summary.
All right, perfect. I just want to make sure. All right, well, if you're ready to jump right in, I would love to know, let's take us back to that moment when you started your business and you had to decide to either commit to win or cut your losses. So I would love to know the story of how you began in entrepreneurship.
Well, you know, it's actually an interesting question because I've started multiple businesses. And so, you know, I started originally, oh goodness. Okay. So this is, I started in 2004 with my very first business. And that was really when I quit working at a big giant law firm and I was really unhappy. And I started doing my very first business. Back then I was doing financial planning and estate planning. And to be honest, now looking back on it, I wasn't 100% committed to really making that work. Of course, now, you know, I have so much more experience in being able to judge that person that I was back then, right? But a lot of things happened. I got married, I had a kid, and then I got divorced. Then I was in a position where I had to make money and support myself. And also, I was in a position where I didn't want to have to go back and work in a law firm because I wanted to be able to spend time with my kid and be able to keep homeschooling and have a lot of flexible time. And I wanted to, and the business I had been doing wasn't working. It wasn't making enough money. It was just kind of making some money, but it wasn't working. And I needed to reinvent myself and reinvent my business. And that was the business that I started, which is the one I'm running now. And so that really was the moment where I committed to starting a business that was designed from the beginning to be profitable, which is it's an interesting thing, as it's to design something to be serious from the very beginning. And design something that I was completely committed to from the very beginning. And so that was what happened for me.
Great. Well, and thanks for taking us back there and sharing that story. And, you know, it depends on your motivation. You know, when you talked about what you wanted, what you didn't want, and it really goes back to what motivates you. What are you looking for out of this? Now, I would love to ask you about your personal strengths. Looking within, what would you say are, you know, one or two personal strengths that you have that you feel help you stay strong and successful in your business?
You know, I think, you know, one of the strengths that keeps me strong and successful in my business, I think, is I'm somewhat unreasonable. And that, you know, so that's a challenge also. But that is a defining quality of myself. And because of that, that kind of stubborn unreasonableness means that I don't give up. There's a lot of times where I could have given up and I could give up now. And there are a lot of times where there's a challenge in business. There's a time where, you know, you run into a cash flow crunch, or, you know, a client is upset, or you know, there's, you launch something and it doesn't work. And you're like, what? I that really was supposed to work. Like, everything looked like it was going to work. And it, it looked like it should have worked. I did everything everyone said I was supposed to do. These challenges happen, and they happen to no matter how many years of experience you've had and no matter how big of a list you have. It's one of the interesting things about being a lawyer is I have a lot of clients who have been in business for a very long time, and I see kind of the back end of their business, and I see all the challenges that they have, even ones who have been in business for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, still have all those challenges that even the brand new business owners have. You just don't know about them as much. They still have launches that don't work. You know, they still, and so I think being kind of unreasonable, being kind of stubborn is actually very helpful because it gives me that gumption to keep sticking with things. Even when it would be, it seems from the outside to be unreasonable.
Well, and I like that, you know, the characteristic you're talking about could definitely be talked about as a weakness. And I love that you're turning it around and saying, no, this is actually one of my strengths. Really cool. Hey guys, let me pause for just a minute and tell you about one of our sponsors, FreshBooks. FreshBooks is the online accounting software that I personally use in my business. And a couple of the things that I use it for is something like invoicing. You can use FreshBooks to create and send invoices in about 30 seconds. There is no formatting, no fuss, just perfectly crafted invoice. And they also have late payment reminders. So when a client forgets to pay you on time, let FreshBooks handle the awkwardness with customizable late payment reminders. All right, now go and check out their 30-day free trial. You do not need a credit card to sign up, and you can just go to freshbooks.com/rescue and then let them know you heard about us on the Business Rescue Roadmap. So check it out, see what I use to help save my business and rescue my life every day. All right, back to the show. Well, let me ask you about financial lessons that you've learned in your business. And, you know, starting out as a new entrepreneur, we have, and not even just new entrepreneurs, we have financial mistakes that we are making, you know, every year sometimes in our business. It just, like you said, you think something's going to go really well, you stick a lot of money into it, and then it fails. So do you have a financial lesson or a mistake that sticks out to you that you would like to share with us today?
Yeah, I've made so many financial mistakes over the years. I've been in business long enough, right?
Right.
So, you know, the number one, like, overall financial mistake I think I made for many years was not keeping on top of my money on a daily basis. So for so long, I would kind of ignore things. And I even mean back when I had a bookkeeper and I thought, well, I hired a bookkeeper. I hired someone else to manage the money, but I wasn't keeping on top of things. And I wasn't really paying attention to where every dime was going. And I was hoping that things were going to work out. And I didn't really plan cash flow and wasn't really keeping on top of where every dime was going. And now it is the complete opposite. I actually look at cash flow every single day. I have so many spreadsheets and so much analysis, and I am the biggest geek about everything, and have all this data. There's so much analysis that we do in the business now, both financial things and non-financial things, but there's so much information that we collect. And we look at, for everything that we do, what are the results of this money? You know, this isn't just theoretical. There was a time where I would spend thousands of dollars on things and kind of hope that it was going to get results for us. Where now we spend money on things, we look at, did this get results? You know, right. We spent $50 on this or $300 on this. Did we get any results from this? And sometimes the results are things that may not be obvious. This isn't, you know, if it's a Facebook advertising campaign, you can actually track results. Right. There are other kinds of things that it's the results are more things you can't exactly track, but you can still track results of, did it help us in the business? Did it help us grow? Did we learn things from it? And did it help our clients? And we track those things on a weekly, on monthly, quarterly basis. And if it didn't, then we stopped spending that money. And for a long time, I didn't track those things. And I mean, tens of thousands of dollars got spent over the, all those years on stuff that really didn't get results. And so now I make sure that all that stuff gets tracked.
Well, and you said it in the beginning, you get so excited, you think and you assume that this is all going to work. So if you're not tracking it, you probably think you're doing a lot better than you really are. So tracking it is absolutely the key to that successful growth.
Oh, yes. And it's so important. And also, it's wonderful to actually see the progress. You know, if you're not tracking, you can't even acknowledge and celebrate when good things happen because you didn't even realize when it did. Like, there's times where we will not even realize how much progress we've made. One of the things that we're doing now in our business is we have this quarterly success spreadsheet where we keep track of all the successes that happened last quarter. And it could be financial successes of how much gross revenue we had each month. But also it's things like just goals we achieved and things we accomplished and books that we've read about business and things like that. And it's wonderful to look at this running list of all the things everybody who works at the business did over the years and be able to celebrate that. And so it's so important to track those things to acknowledge the progress that you've made.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that it's not just all about finances. Mm-hmm. So I like that it can just be, any, like you said, books that you've read, anything to share and to show people that you're growing and not just personally, but as a team, not just individually, I should say, but growing as a team. That's so important. Well, let me ask you a little bit about marketing. And I would love to know, especially with you having such a niche that you go after and helping people, you know, what is something you've learned in your marketing? And maybe it's how you defined your niche and where you were going to go and how you really weeded out the other industries to focus on your prime clientele.
You know, when I started this particular business, the reason I started marketing to these particular people was because those are the people who came to me and said, please, please do this legal work for me. Yeah. And so I said, okay, I'll start this business. I mean, that those are the first couple clients were life coaches and therapists who I knew and who really wanted me to do that work for them. So those first couple coaches and consultants, that was the first niche. And then the other niches were people who were referrals from those particular clients. And it just kind of emerged. And I think, so that's a lot of our niches were not things that we decided we're going to target. They emerge out of the clientele who came to us and we noticed the patterns. And as we looked at each quarter and each year, we would look at who are our clients and we'd say, whoa, we're getting a lot of this kind of person. We have, you know, 10 of these kinds of clients. We should create a package for those people because I've already created 10 custom packages. So let's just call it something, you know? And actually I just did that. I had so many of the same kind of people. I actually just created a new custom package last month. And then of course I get a bunch of new clients because now they have a package called something that looks like them. You know, so I think that there'll be to a certain extent, it'll naturally happen once you may have a niche that you purposely target and then new niches will arise because you'll just get people kind of
flowing from that. Yeah. And I think what you said about referrals is key. You know, once you have a certain person that you're helping and you do a great job and they refer you, you're kind of putting that niche into their own hands and saying, okay, go do the work and start seeing who comes back to you. So that kind of develops on its own just by word of mouth and referrals. It's so important to understand that.
Right. And I think that's the thing about referrals is part of it is they're referring you to people who are similar to them, not just in the kinds of business, but similar to them in like their energy, their congruence, their kind of person they are. They're going to be a good fit for you. And that's a lot of it is they, you want people who are not just in the same, you know, industry, because you do want people where you're going to be able to deliver the results for them, but also people who are going to be a good fit for the way you deliver that service or that product. And so then you can, and then you can create a package for them that's going to work for that new related niche. And that's really what we've done. And then there are other, we'll see it emerge too. Like we have other kind of categories where we're like, huh, well, we've gotten two of those. So we'll see if we get any new people over there. And we also have other sub niches too. So we have a lot of coaches, but we have a bunch of therapists, and we have a bunch of health coaches, and we have a bunch of kind of sub niches. We have a lot of people who are introverts, for example, introvert entrepreneurs. And so we'll actually write a lot of articles and do a lot of marketing where we'll talk a lot about issues that are important to people in those topics.
Great. Excellent. Well, thank you for answering that. I would love to pick your brain a little bit about work-life balance. I would love to hear from you if you think it exists, and you know, if it does, what does it mean to you, and do you have it?
Yeah, I don't really think it's a balance. I think it's all about prioritization, and it's all about what you say no to. I think the secret is you have to say no to a whole lot of things and prioritize what you're going to say yes to. Balancing assumes that, in a way, balancing is like you're not going to say no to anything. You're just going to be juggling all these different things. And I think it's really about which balls you're going to actually put down. And so you are just going to have these particular things that you're going to be holding right now and dealing with. So there's a whole bunch of things I don't do and I don't pay attention to. I don't pay attention to sports. I have no concept what's going on in sports. Not that I don't like sports. I just don't have any like pay attention units to dedicate to sports. I don't participate in any like clubs or I don't like go to yoga. I don't do any of those things that have to be in a place at a certain time because I just can't do it. Like there's a whole lot of things that I just can't do because I'm running a business and I'm homeschooling my kid. And that's like all I can do as far as big stuff. And then of course I do have some hobbies and things that they have to be fit in between those. So I think that's that when you have huge things going on in your life, you have to say no to a whole bunch of other things. And that was a big issue for me when a few years ago I had a lot more anxiety and stress. And part of it was because I was still trying to be everything to everybody and have a gazillion different other hobbies and, you know, be in junior league and be in all these other things that I was trying to do at the same time. I just couldn't do all of that stuff. It was just not physically possible for me. And so I think that was the secret was for me was saying no to a lot of things, at least for now.
Oh, absolutely. And I could not agree more. One thing I realized about this was I'm pretty good at saying no to other people when I'm asked for things. I can understand that somebody's bringing something to me and I'm realizing this isn't great for me. What I realize I struggle with is saying no to myself when I think I have this amazing idea. I think it's so amazing. I want to run with it. And it's hard for me to say no. I've got to prioritize and focus on this specific thing. So that is where I spend a lot of my time and attention on this, knowing that that is a constant struggle for me, is to try to shut down some of those amazing ideas that I think I have in my head.
Yeah, all the businesses I don't start. That I could start, and all the like for a long time I was buying so many domain names.
Yes,
and I had to get rid of so many of them. And I mean, I think that's one of the hard things. All these ideas and all these projects. And I think if you're an entrepreneur, you're probably one of those people who has 1,000 ideas. I have so many hobbies and so many books and that are half red. And one of the things I've had to do too for myself, because I'm a learner personality, is forgive myself and be gentle with myself for not finishing books, for not finishing hobbies, for not finishing crocheting things, or, you know, like just all those unfinished projects that are truly our hobbies. And it's okay that they're not finished. And someday they may get finished and maybe they won't ever, but really what I got what I needed out of them probably, because they were just for enjoyment and that was the point of them. And because I'm enough of a perfectionist, I had to forgive myself and be okay with the fact that I didn't complete all my hobbies.
Right. And I think that's a common problem we have, because we're really great at starting things and it's hard to finish. And then we feel guilty that we haven't done it. So I think you're hitting on something that a lot of people can relate to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Let's talk about your employees or your team that you work with, whether it's outsourcing or delegating. My question for you is, what is something you feel that over the years you've really started to get like master and get really good at the outsourcing or delegating aspect of business?
Well, yeah, I have two employees. And one of the big things that has really changed over the years was I used to hire people who were like me. And what I mean is I would hire other entrepreneurs. I didn't know that at the time, right? But that's what I was doing. I was hiring other people who actually wanted to be entrepreneurs, because I would meet them online on Twitter or Facebook or wherever we were doing back then. And they were really excited. And really what they were doing was they were using me as a mentor. I mean, they weren't trying to use me. It sounds terrible, but you know, I was being their mentor, and they would work for me for, you know, 6 months or 9 months, and then they would quit, and it would be upsetting, right? Because I was training someone to leave and go start their own business. And it happened multiple times, and I couldn't figure out what the problem was until I hired a consultant who told me what the problem was. You know, it said, you're hiring people just like you. And what you need to do is hire employees, people who want to be employees. And it took me a really long time to actually figure, like to understand what that meant, because I'm not an employee. Like my frame of mind is so not employee minded. It was really hard to get that anyone would want to be an employee. Like, you want to be an employee? Like, how would you even want to do that? You know, so that took a long time for me to get, and figuring out how to write a job description and how to interview people and all that. And now I've gotten to a point where I really get that, like how to write a job description that makes someone really want, like think, oh, I want this job.
Right. And you got to sell it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And fall in love with the idea of working for this company and finding the right kind of people and how to actually find the right kind of person. And this is actually one of the secrets. And this is something that the consultant told me, and this was someone who had her own company for decades and was great at finding great people. And she said, you know, when you're interviewing people, you don't need to talk about the job that much or even talk about them that much. What you want to really get is you want to figure out if that person is really excited about working for your company and they're really excited about, they want to hear about what your company is doing and the vision for your company. And you want someone who's really excited about it. And if they're really excited, you can teach them the job. You know, I mean, as long as they're not an idiot, they're going to be able to figure it out. They have some, you know, they have some minimal experience in that area. They can figure out that work. And the issue is that you want someone who's excited about working for you and being your employee. And they want that gig. And it's amazing having a team of people who actually want to be part of this team. And that's what they want to do, is to be part of a team. And it's completely different. And it really is. It's been interesting how much I enjoy having employees and having a team.
Yeah. And two things that you said that I have to just recap here is, one, that it took you, you didn't see it. You didn't see what you were doing. You had to hire somebody. And sometimes it takes an outsider to say, hey, this is what's going on. And you are just, you don't understand and you don't realize it because you're so in the moment and in the middle of it. You can't see from the outside. Mm-hmm. So that's huge. And then the second thing was, people don't realize this, but you have to really sell yourself when you're interviewing and trying to, you know, find that employee. We think, oh, they're coming to me. They want this job. They need me. So I'm just going to sit here and pick out my favorite. When really you could go back to somebody to hire them and they might say, I've actually accepted a different opportunity. So you have to sell yourself just as much as they're selling you, them in that interview. And people don't realize that.
Yeah. And really it's people, you want someone who's going to fall in love with working for your company.
Yeah.
And people will, you know, and
that's how you know they're a good fit too, yeah, is when they feel like that.
And they will feel like that. And you can, and the thing is, you don't even have, like, one thing I've also found is you can even do that in the job description. You just like you can do it in a sales page. I mean, on my job descriptions, look, a lot of ways are like sales pages. They really are. And that's another big difference is I don't write them like job descriptions. I write them like sales pages. I also don't have people send in resumes. I have them fill out an application, and the application actually is their initial interview, but it's initial interview by a survey. So it really makes it so by the time I'm interviewing them, it's really a second interview. So it makes it a whole lot easier.
Well, and I'm a big fan of however you can weed out those people before you have to actually do the interview. So that's a great tip. I like making them go an extra step because the harder you make it for somebody to apply, right there, you're weeding people out that just aren't interested enough in your business. So I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me ask you, what do you enjoy most about being an entrepreneur?
You know, my favorite thing about, I think there's two halves of it, especially now that I have employees, there's two halves of it that I really love. You know, one half is how I get to help so many different clients. And then the neat thing is because they help all their clients. So it's like there's this kind of wonderful multiplication that gets to happen. And then on the other side is now I have employees. So I also get to provide a job for my employees. And I think that I get to provide something wonderful for both sides, you know, both for clients and then helping clients and then providing a job for my employees. And so that's for me is the best part about being an entrepreneur. And that provides both. I get to help all those people. And it's also something that's so interesting for me. I learn so much and I get to grow. It's such a growth opportunity as a person because human beings are so complicated and you can never stop learning, learning so much about yourself from interacting with people. So you're never done. There's always more to learn.
Yeah, I just think with entrepreneurship, it's a constant learning about yourself and mm-hmm. and the growth that you have. It's just so incredible to realize what you've accomplished and what you've done in a year or 90 days or just such a short amount of time. So yeah, I definitely agree with you. And making that impact and living this life of significance is just so amazing.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Well, before we go, I have a question for you. Do you have any go-to tools that you use to help save your business, whether it's an online system that you use, anything to keep us more productive? And maybe it's an app, a resource, a book, anything you can share.
The book that actually I just, the last book that I finished that especially this is about financial stuff that I would highly recommend is a book by Greg Crabtree, which is called Simple Numbers, Straight Chalk, Big Profits. This is a great book that's about for small business owners, like under $5 million, but starting at zero. And has been really helpful for me to, as a lot of the stuff in the book I was already doing, but it gave me a little bit of clarity in exactly how to do it. But it'll help people deal with their finances for either one owner business, or even if you have a couple owners for a business, to help you figure out how to manage your numbers.
Great. Well, thanks for sharing that. I love asking that question because I don't want to waste my time reading books and not finishing them like you're talking about. So when I know somebody says, this is a great book, it makes me want to go out and get it. So I appreciate you sharing that with us. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, before we go, where can my listeners find more information about you?
Yeah, so my website, if you go to elizabethpw.com, then you don't have to know how to spell my name. So and then that'll forward to my website. And then there's tons of information about small business law and all kinds of free resources there and links to social media and what have you and videos and all kinds of things and information about both our startup plans and trademark law and all kinds of different resources for small business owners.
Yeah. And this is perfect because we have so many small business owners that listen to this podcast. So you are definitely going to be able to help us with those specific things. So thank you so much for being here. And last question before we go, if you could give just one solid piece of advice to somebody, a small business owner, what maybe they're not aware of, what should they be doing? Why should I go to your website? Like, what's the reason? What's something I don't know? You know, when they say you don't know what you don't know, what are we missing here? And what should we make sure we're aware of?
I think, you know, as far as legal things, you know, that small businesses aren't aware of, I think a lot of small businesses, they tend to run totally fine until the day they don't run fine. and so I think the number one thing that any every single small business needs to do is have really good contracts. Because whether or not you're an LLC or a corporation or a sole proprietorship or big or small, like some people need to be that and some people don't. But everybody needs to have really good legal agreements. And that's something, if you've drafted stuff yourself, having someone look over it is something that'd be really important to do. And if you haven't had any of that done, it is something that you definitely need to have taken care of, whether you have, you know, me do it or having some lawyers close who's in your own town do it. That's something that you definitely need to have in place to protect your business, not just to protect you, but also to make sure that the relationships that you have with your clients and with the other people you're in business with run smoothly so you can keep having a wonderful relationship with them.
Well, and that's so true when you just said things seem like they're going good until they're not, because you just don't know what could happen by having something not in place or a bad contract or something that's not going to hold up. So that was an incredible piece of advice. I'm so glad that I asked that question. Thank you so much for being here, Elizabeth. This has been such a pleasure having you on the show. And I know you are going to really help my entrepreneurs listening today. So I appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Hey, before you go, I want to ask you, do you love listening to the Business Rescue Roadmap? Would you like to work with me one-on-one? If so, go to stacytushel.com/coaching. For a limited time, I have a few spots each week. I take on less than one client every day where I help you save your business and rescue your life. And I help you design your own personal business rescue roadmap. I hope you check it out. stacytushel.com/coaching.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Business Rescue Roadmap. Be sure to visit stacytushel.com for more free content, videos, and online courses like the Get Focused Academy that helps you let go of distractions and take the action necessary to achieve your dreams. We look forward to helping you save your business and rescue your life here on the Business Rescue Roadmap.